Well, thank you very much. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning, and I think this is a very appropriate and timely topic to remember, at least in the recent past, when things were done once in a while on a bipartisan basis. And in terms of Minnesota Care, on the part of the Senate, I really have to give the credit to that for that to Dwayne Benson. Dwayne Benson is really a hero in my mind because of the work he did with me on Minnesota Care. Let me back up a little bit and just say, we were trying to get this idea passed, and we had organized some people to start writing to their senators about, you know, if the senators didn't think that people who worked for small businesses who didn't have access to employer health care, if they didn't think that they should be able to get health care that was affordable, then they were challenging the senators to give up their own health care. So we started getting these kind of letters coming in, and I had this bill, and this was a couple of years before we finally passed the bill. And finally Roger Moe came up to me one day and he said, "Would you settle for a commission?" And so I said, knowing this was probably the best I was going to do, I said, yes, I would. So then there was this commission formed, this bipartisan commission with a lot of different people on it and subcommittees and et cetera. And they came out with a report. And so then we had another bill. And we, against all odds, actually passed that bill. And Governor Arne Carlson vetoed it. So it was the summer after the veto, and I went to a program for legislators. It was a seminar called Getting to Yes. And I thought, okay, of course, this bill is all I have on my mind. How are we going to get it? And, you know, they talked about how no matter how difficult or how many differences you have with somebody or the other side, there are always some things you agree about. Okay, so the trick is finding out what there is that you can both agree on. So when I got back from that trip, I went to see Dwayne Benson, and I said to him that I'd like to discuss this and see, you know, if there were some things we could do to improve this legislation so that we could agree on it. And I was kind of surprised that he said yes, he would do that. So then I talked to Lee, and I said, I got Dwayne to say he'd work with us to try to get to a bill that we can get the governor to sign. So then before long, we had this group. And we started meeting and thrashing things over and trying to find any place we disagreed, trying to find a compromise. And that was kind of an interesting and sometimes tumultuous process, but the most important part of it was that everybody stuck with it. In spite of some egos and some stormings out and some individual press conferences. I mean, we sort of had agreed we were never going to do that and that we were all going to take credit together, because if we were all going to sit through and figure all this out together, then we all deserve to take credit together. But there were times when not everybody stuck with that, and it was a little tense and trying, but we got through it. And I guess that fact that we stuck with it as long as we did and we're coming together around a bill for a second try at it, Governor across and noticed, and then he started sending somebody to meet with us also toward the end. And well, of course, his main objection was that he did not believe we should be using the income tax base of the state to pay for this program. So we had to find another funding source, and we ended up with the provider tax as our major funding source. And of course, that did make the bill much, much more controversial, especially with Democrats. And we had a lot more opposition from the physicians and from the hospitals. And, you know, I mean, these little hospitals, they'd call up and they just hand the phone to the different staff down the line to talk to whoever their legislator was, so they could get the idea that this wasn't one person that didn't like this bill at that hospital, it was everybody. And but in spite of all of that, we kept going, and we actually passed the bill. Now, I had decided that when we presented this bill in front of the committees, that Dwayne should be with me. So Dwayne Benson and I kind of split the explaining part of the bill up, and he took part of it and I took part of it. And he was really good. He always showed up. The only time that it got a little thin was, you know, when Jean Miriam had me in front of the Finance Committee in the Senate for 72 hours. And I can't quite blame Dwayne Benson for feeling like he didn't need to be in the middle of that, but at least not for the whole 72 hours. But at any rate, so Dwayne really was quite a big part in the Senate of passing the final bill that got signed. And there were some things that he especially liked about the approach that we used in Minnesota Care. And one of the things that he liked was, you know, even though people didn't pay the full cost of their insurance under this program, they paid something. Everybody paid something. And he felt that that was better than the system that we had, where if you didn't have insurance and you didn't have a lot of money, most of the time you didn't end up paying anything. You just would go in the emergency room and then you'd get that care, and then, you know, you didn't have really good comprehensive follow-up care, but you didn't pay for what you had gotten either. So I think that was one of the things that he really thought was an important part of the bill. And I think another thing that was important to them was the fact that we didn't have comprehensive hospital coverage. So if you could afford to go out in the private market and get insurance on your own, he thought you would get better insurance. I never told him I didn't agree with that, because most of the time you got better coverage on the hospital end, but much worse coverage on the office visits and the preventative care. And Minnesota Care was always very good about making sure you could stay well and you could use the low cost part of the system without having financial barriers to you. But he thought it was a good thing that you could get quote unquote better insurance if you afforded it on your own. So, you know, I think one of the best parts for me about working with Dwayne on this was that he is my friend to this day. You know, he came and he spoke at my retirement party, and if I saw him walking down the street here, we'd walk up to each other and give each other a hug. And you know, this is in spite of the fact that I don't agree with him on workers' compensation, and I don't agree with him on taxes, and I could go down the list of things I don't agree with him on. But the fact that we worked together and agreed on this, and it was so important that we did that, that we always will be friends. And I guess I never expected that to come out of this when I started trying to work with him on it. You know, for me, it was about the issue, but in the end, it turned out to be both a lasting friendship and an important issue that got past and has helped many people in Minnesota. And that was important to him too. He really did feel that people were not on a level playing field. If you work for a big company, you got pretty good insurance and they chipped in a whole bunch to help pay for it. And if you work for a small company that couldn't afford to buy you insurance, you were out in the cold. And he always felt like that wasn't right, that we should make things more equal for people to access the healthcare system. And so, you know, it's good to remember that Democrats and Republicans, at least at one time in our recent history, could come together and agree on something. And I'm glad it was this. Thank you. So,
I'll take the first question. How and why did you first get the idea for this?
Minnesota Care, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, it evolved. It was never a big splash bang, there it is, it's done. I mean, we started with the Children's Health Plan. And we started with 0 to 5 year olds, and then we went to 12 year olds, and then we went to all the kids, and then we went to the parents of the kids. And then, you know, for me, it was really important that we, for some people, that was a very attractive thing, families with children, providing them insurance coverage. But for me, it was always really important that we cover adults without children, you know. I had a lady, I will have had several ladies in the past come in front of my committee during the days when Governor Pawlenty was trying to cut Minnesota Care, and they'd say, I know that I do not make enough money to support children, so I don't have any. Don't penalize me for making a good decision about my life by telling me I can't have any health insurance coverage, but somebody else that couldn't afford to have children who has 4 or 5 of them gets health insurance coverage. So I always felt it was important. And really, when you think about it, the majority of our adult lives, we don't have children living with us in our homes. And so even those of us who have had children, we need access to health care that's affordable too. We phased in Minnesota Care also. You know, we brought the adults without children in last. So it was a process.
Are there other states that have similar Minnesota Care type programs?
Yeah, there are. I can't remember where all of them are, but I know Washington State is one because, you know, the provision in the Affordable Care Act that says that you can create your own state basic care plan for people up to 200% of poverty, that got put in the act by one of the legislators at the national level from Washington State so that his state wouldn't have to lose that program.
Do you think this program has been around long enough now that it's really welded into the state, or if we got a Republican governor and a Republican legislature at the same time, it would be just?
Yeah, I think there's still disagreement about it, not about whether people should have coverage, but what kind of coverage. And you can see that, you know, in the last legislative session where they took the group between 200 and 275 and put them on a high deductible plan. And, you know, they're still calling it Minnesota Care. I don't feel like it is, but so, you know, I think there, you could have a program created where, you know, you really don't have very good coverage, and Republicans would still think it was a fine Minnesota Care program.
So it'd be whittled away rather than one total abolition.
Yeah, kind of. Now, with the Affordable Care Act coming into place, we really have to figure out what to do about Minnesota Care. We can't just keep going on with it the way it is. And that's an important discussion to be following you know, within the administration and the legislature. I mean, they have the option of putting all those people into the insurance exchange, but then the benefits are not going to be as good, and for people without children, the cost is going to be, it's the other way around. For people with children, the cost is going to be much higher than Minnesota Care would have been. So the other option is to create a state basic plan like they have, up to 200%, where you create your own benefits and you buy the insurance for everybody. They don't go into the exchange, but they automatically would get this coverage on a sliding scale basis. And then the other is you let them go into the exchange, but then you create a wraparound policy for them to give them different benefits than they would otherwise have, or help subsidize their premiums more than it would be otherwise. So those are kind of the three options that they'll be talking about. So I think it's now time for me to kind of turn it over to my partner here. Thank you.
Time. Let me go back to what was going on in 91 when we passed a bill that was not bipartisan. It was passed because we had a majority in both houses, and we could eventually get enough of the Democrats in both houses to vote for it. That bill, had a lot of great promises in it and a very little funding basis. I can't remember whether it was 5% or 10% on tobacco originally, but
income tax,
yeah. But it was not clear, nor was it clear how it was going to do any of these things. It was really a relatively short bill. I was on the conference committee that heard it because it went to Health and Human Services, as was Linda. We knew it was in trouble when we passed it, but we wanted to make a point about the need for health care for everybody. Governor Carlson vetoed it, as he said he would. However, what happened next was something I think that surprised him.
There was a lot of negative reaction to his veto. He could hold the Republicans together, but in the public, there was great interest in it and support. Lyndon told you how the beginning of the meetings started, and I missed, I think, the first one or two because I was off with my wife vacationing, actually in Europe. Came back and got a phone call from D. Long, who was then the majority leader of the Minnesota House, asking me if I was willing to serve, that there were going to be two members from each caucus. That was only changed when Duane decided not to appoint any other Republican in the Senate. But in the House, there were four of us. And Paul Ogren, who had been working with Linda, was going to be on it, and D. asked if I'd join the group. That was in the fall of 91, and we started meeting. I missed, I think, one or two meetings, but joined them. And I think it started out kind of like once a week. They were long, but they were once a week. And as we went, the frequency started to increase. Very often, we do a lot of talking, and in essence, we never got anywheres. But we kept talking. We did figure somewheres there was a way to figure out things that we could agree on. And the meetings got, actually, by the time it finished, before we actually got a bill prepared in March of 92, we were meeting every day, 7 days a week. But we started to do a lot of things and agree on a lot of things. We started to find things and problems in healthcare that we thought had to be addressed and agreed on that. How exactly was not exactly sure. And the bill started growing. It wasn't just, though that was probably, certainly in terms of immediate effect, the most important part, system of providing healthcare for people who can't afford it. We left the confusion in it from the word go. It was then originally Health Right, and we let the program that actually Linda done most, if not all, of the designing of for people above the programs that were paid for by the federal government to have a healthcare system. And we started adding other things and create a commission and gave them a bunch of ideas that we all knew, or some of us at least, that were things that were going on in healthcare around the country, if not the world, in terms of looking at evidence-based medicine, that what we call that now, but research that led to changes in how healthcare was provided, or standards in some cases. And we added examples and hoped that the commission that would be created, appointed by the governor, for the most part, would take those up if the bill passed. But while Linda had some agreement, at least leadership agreement, between herself and the GOP members, or at least Duane, on the House side, it wasn't quite like that. In 91, when we were fighting about the bill, Dave Greenis took the lead from the Republicans in the House. And their view was very simply, what you need is catastrophic coverage. That's it. We don't have to create any system that pays for just doctor visits or anything like that. Hospitalization, catastrophic events, all that we should be helping people with. And that continued when we met as the group that was discussing it after the bill was vetoed in 91. And Dave was a member for the House, and Brad Stanius, who was then a retired pharmacist, was the fourth House member. And Brad didn't seem to like any part of it, really. But we all got into it at various times, and we started to look at changing how healthcare insurance was sold, or at least in certain ways, putting restrictions and requirements on healthcare. One of them has, I guess, come up recently in the Affordable Care Act and in changes, and that is the percentage of the money that is given to providers that can go for administration and as against services. And coming up with a percentage that we could agree on was that. And that was in Minnesota Care in the first time. It wasn't liked by particularly insurance companies, health insurance companies. But the fight, we never settled. As we moved on and we finally got a bill together, it really wasn't even settled at that point. The night before the conference committee, we had passed it in both houses. In the House, it was not easy to pass it. It required some Republican votes, and it took a while to get the bill passed. The conference committee was established. The members, by the way, the name of the group that is now referred to as the Gang of Seven, wasn't our doing, initially at least. But as the things got hot and it was clear that something was going to move on, the proponents of many of the healthcare organizations that didn't like what it looked like, or healthcare groups, dubbed us the Gang of Seven to shame us that we weren't, we were just doing this. We weren't having formal meetings. We shouldn't, in their view, be doing it this way. Legally, we didn't have to. We didn't have enough votes on anything, any place, to pass anything. There were just seven of us, four House members, three senators. We never gave Duane two votes, though. No, we did it all by consensus. But the night before we were to meet for the conference committee, for then what was called Health Right, Paul Ogren decided that the House members should meet. And he got, since we were in sessions in the Capitol in both chambers most of the time, he got Dougie Johnson, the chair of the tax committee, to let us use his office that evening. And the four of us came together. And we had a fifth member that, of course, was a conference committee of five members from each house, Roger Cooper. So there was three Democrats and two House members. And we started talking, and very quickly, Paul and I realized that we had two votes, his and mine, and three people who were not anxious to vote for this, let alone be key part of casting it or signing the bill. That meeting lasted a long time, like most of our meetings, but it lasted for 4 or 5 hours. And we at least got, we were sure we had three votes at that point. Brad Stanley has explained that while he had had a lot of input, and in fact, when we tried to determine changes in healthcare insurance, there were a number in the bill, Brad had participated in, with Dave Greenis, in meeting with the insurers and the lobbyists for the insurers, and coming up with the ideas that were in the bill on that. And he really liked them. But he explained to us that he wasn't going to stay in the legislature much longer, and he was looking for a job in the pharmacy area. And he didn't think it would help him to be too closely associated with this bill. So Brad's vote was out. Greenis kind of went back to his, no, all we need is basic insurance, but we don't have to cover everyday doctors and stuff like that. People don't need that. So it was not looking too good. I think some people got word around the Capitol that we were plotting something. We couldn't even plot what day we would meet if we had to take a vote on it. But that was sort of the feeling. And now, what became evident then from that point on, that nothing was solid, nor were our votes solid at all, as we went into meetings in the conference committee that had to come up with a bill that then came back and went through both houses. But that was actually as it was. But this time we had active support from Governor Carlson, and that helped. Governor Carlson got Dave Greenis back. And at various times, a small number of Republicans willing to vote for the bill. There were a couple of other interesting and strange facts. One was when Paul Ogren was lobbying the House floor when the vote was up, we were short votes. And he was moving around. He didn't tell people he was wearing a wire for one of the national TV stations. And he was trying to bribe people up. It was a little weird, but happily it was only used, I think, one night, so on TV, on the news. In national news, at least. We did get to the point where we had the bill line outlined. We had the commission in it. It had a lot of things. There were some changes that we didn't like doing to get it that far. When the last meeting for the bill to pass House Committee before it went into the full House in the first time, went along smoothly. Paul didn't like to present much of the bill. He liked to talk about it a bit and then ask the other members of the group, who he always make sure we were there, to explain parts of the bill. We also, at that point, Governor Carlson had sent the state state analyst to the meetings to see if we could find, they could lend some help in how we were putting this together. When we finished the last meeting in the tax committee and passed it out of the tax committee, he immediately called us together, an actuary actually, and looked at us and said, well, I've been listening to you, what you folks say about this bill, and if you do it, I don't see how we've got enough money to pay for it. It could cost 100 times what you've set up for. Well, it was through all the committees. And so we had to come up with ways of restricting who was eligible. And that, if you recall, any of you recall Minnesota Care as it became, it had some funny requirements to stop making sure we stopped people who were employed getting insurance from their employer from moving into this program with their employer getting out of the financing of it. And so we just had to accept those things. Otherwise, we would have lost the governor's support. But we got a lot of heat over those over the years. And over the years, they got sort of taken out, mostly one by one. I think some of them might even still be around. But the whole purpose was to get it through and satisfy the actuary at that point. When we passed the bill, a number of the House members who supported it, very happy to, got a lot of heat when they went home. And so I cut a deal with the House members who voted for it, both parties, though it was only taken up by the Democrats who did it, that I would be willing to go visit them in their district. They could call the meeting and get whoever they wanted there, and I would explain the bill. That was the theory. What I was doing was letting all those people who had problems with it vent so that they'd dislike me and leave the House member alone. It worked. But, by the way, and the other thing, as Linda mentioned, it was called Health Right until we got a letter from an insurance company in California that they'd already taken that name and we couldn't use it. So then we started to look for a name. Everything we came up with, we actually brought in some attorneys who do that kind of thing. And in healthcare, it's very hard because not only do various companies, insurance companies, find names and patent them, they put away more names that they think sound good and hold on to them. And nobody could find anyone called Health Right that existed yet, but a company had taken it. So we went to Minnesota Care. We got an immediate call from a cleaning company. They called itself Minnesota Care. And at that point, though, we just looked at Paul. Paul looked at me and Linda. We're going to call it Minnesota Care. We're the state. It's our name. And that's how Minnesota Care was added to it. And the end of the discussions, Governor Carlson and his people did add a lot. He actually made people from a number of departments available to us who met for some of those crazy hours working on this. People like Kurt Johnson from his department, Mary Jo O'Brien from the health department. And it was a bipartisan bill. Now, right now, I don't think you could get a bipartisan bill in almost any place in the country unless it didn't mean anything. And I got to say, I'm very glad to be retired, not having anything to do with the legislature, because I can't imagine a worse situation than what they have now.